It is Wednesday. It is October 19th. We do thank you for being with us, and we will be keeping an eye on the radar today. We haven't had to say that very often recently. We've given you forecasts where we've suggested that could be the case, and they've all gone away, but this one has not, and we could see some severe weather today that we'll need to pay attention to as it develops a little bit later this afternoon. After lunchtime, expect to see some thunder and lightning and some other stuff, and some of that other stuff could be severe. When was the last time we had talked about severe weather being in the area? It's been a while. 77 for a high, that's the good news. 90% chance of thunderstorms developing during the afternoon. Few of these could be severe. Tonight, 90% chance as well. Some of those thunderstorms developing in the evening and nighttime hours could also be severe, a low of 58. Remember that number, 58. Why? Well, that's going to be the high tomorrow. Thursday, morning rain, 70% chance, clouds in the afternoon and evening, 58 and 44, your highs and lows. Saturday, you want to call it 60 and 40? 60-40 sounds better than 59 and 39, doesn't it? Partly cloudy. Only a 10% chance of rain. So if you're heading to the Mustang Corral for sectional football on Friday night, sure, it's going to be a little cool. It's finally going to feel like fall on a Friday night. But rain is only a 10% chance. Saturday for the Bloomington Breast Cancer Awareness Walk. Very nice. 62 sunshine. 0% chance of rain at 8:30. It might not be that warm when things get started. But you probably will warm up nicely throughout the course of that event. 70 and sunshine on Tuesday, more sunshine Monday and Tuesday of next week. Temperatures in the low 70s as well. Folks, the average highs and lows this time of year are 65 and 43, and we've been well above it. We've been well above average in just about every category this year, including temperature and rainfall. So we've had 0.07 of an inch the first 18 days in October. There hasn't been any rain. We'll take it a little bit. We'll take a couple cool days. That's fine. That's been the exception, not the rule. Follow along with us at WGCLradio.com. It is Wednesday morning. Margaret Fetty is on assignment. Joe Smith is on sabbatical. So it's just me and you this morning. But we'll bring in some help as we always do on Wednesday morning as County Councilwoman Marty Hawk makes her weekly Wednesday visit. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am ready. Ready to go. It's Wednesday morning.
It is ready to go. The trees are starting.
And I have already been to early voting. Can you believe?
Wait a second.
I'm not a fan of early voting.
But you've already been to it?
I went. I just thought.
Did you went to participate or just to watch?
No. Well, at first I thought, well, I'll just see how it's, you know, how much traffic they have.
Tell me about it.
It really was a very pleasant way to do this. I think I will miss voting on the election day because that's.
But you can still go down there and be part of the pomp and circumstance.
Right. But I just thought, well, I'll go see how smooth this is running because I know that so many people are doing it. So I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and do this. And it was smooth as silk. I mean, it was very well organized. The workers there were really very congenial, very organized. And so for those people who are concerned about parking, there's free parking there. And people are there to assist if you need assistance. And so it went very well. So for those people who want to, who've already made up their mind, they just don't even care what else anybody else says, and they want to go ahead and do that, then fine. But many people are still sitting there on the fence and saying, I want to hear more information. And to that end, I hope that they'll be looking at today's newspaper where it's talking about some of the local races, because indeed, even if you've made up your mind on the presidential race or on the Senate race or whatever, didn't want to wait for the Senate debate last night. I watched that, but that wouldn't have changed my mind on that situation. But these local races are so very important, and there's articles in the paper today regarding that.
They're doing a good job with this the entire month of putting all the candidates running for the offices out there, blurbs and special sections. So I wanted just to give the Herald Times a thumbs up on that because we are not wanting for information, Marty. It is out there, and it is you've got plenty of chances to do that. So good job, Herald Times, there.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people are very concerned about the planning and zoning. How are we going to be allowed to use our land, and how are we going to grow, and what is it going to look like? And as a reminder, part of what they have on the part about the surveyor, a lot of people, unless they're very involved in county government, and they might not know that surveyor is the only one that sits on the plan commission that just by their election, they are guaranteed to be able to sit on that plan commission to help put together this plan. The county commissioners also have an appointment, and as a matter of fact, the county commissioners are the only ones who can really change the rules because the plan commission just makes the rules to send to the county commissioners, and they have the final say. And remember, there's two county commissioners, even though they run in a district because they have to live in that district to be able to get their name on the ballot. Everybody in the county votes for both of those county commissioners. It doesn't matter whether you live in the city or in Ellisville or wherever or out in the county, everybody votes for those county commissioners. And those two slots are very important to be looking at because it does affect if you're interested in the county master plan and what's going to happen to your property rights. And so there's that. And also, if you're also interested in this master plan or how we're going to use our ground, remember the county council also has an appointment of one of our members to the plan commission. So those local races are so important. But as far as the Monroe County Council, just as a reminder, because we look at all the budgets and so forth, just this year, for 2017, we're seeing an increase in our income tax revenue. And this is before you even talk about the public safety tax. The income tax revenue was over $800,000 increase.
Why is that?
Because the state is no longer holding back a portion of our dollars for the trust fund at the state level.
So is that
holding back? They're holding back 15% instead of a much larger percent.
Okay, so that percent will remain constant then throughout the next years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
Right. So we saw a rather large increase, and it also could be that the people here in this county are really making more money because the more jobs we create and the more income that's created for the people who live here, then the more income tax that they pay, and therefore you receive more money. But right there was another 800 and some thousand that we had not had for 2016, and approximately just for the county general fund I'm speaking of would be another about $500,000. And boy, I'm really rounding that off. I didn't.
That's fine. Round them off. We're not.
For our property tax increase. So you add those together, and you've got, $1.3 million and more of just brand-new revenue that we didn't have.
Now, is that brand-new revenue going to continue, or is this a one-time deal?
Oh, no. That goes on unless everybody loses jobs and our income tax should drop.
Gotcha. So we have in the coffers another $1.3 million because the state won't hold back the full amount anymore, so that will change, and then
right.
The property tax revenue goes up. Okay.
Okay.
So let's spend it, baby. Let's go.
And that's exactly
Vegas,
one of the reasons
Vegas, let's get it going.
I'm...
Let's roll these dice. Let's play some craps. Let's get this table hot.
Now, in addition to which, because there's the public safety tax, and off of the top of that comes the money to pay for the central dispatch.
Yeah.
So there's another $300,000+ that we were paying. The county government was paying for our dispatch operators that we can throw back into that pot of money.
1.7. Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. And then in addition to which, we're getting
We're in VIP section now, Marty.
Now, here's more income tax coming in. for the public safety tax, the county's portion, not the city, not counting it, just the Monroe County government's portion, was $2,391,000, $392,000. $2,392,000 now. So now that is a lot of increase in tax revenue coming into Monroe County government.
Yeah, so we'll give it all back to the taxpayer, right? Because we don't need it.
Well, now you know that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. But I can dream. I can dream out loud every now and again. So we have all this extra revenue. What happens?
Well, it would just be my hope that everybody would say, okay, now we went to the taxpayer and we said we need this money, and we received it. Now, in addition to which, not only that, but they also voted to, the Monroe County Council voted to put in place two $2 million bonds instead of just one. So that's more tax revenue coming in to cover capital items. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is one would think that with this new income tax money coming in,
right,
that we might not be talking about moving forward with more income tax increase to cover transportation. Remember, in this past year, there was a big push to have legislation at the state passed that Mark Stoops took to the state to say, let's put in place a tax throughout Monroe County, an income tax, more income tax, to pay for transportation throughout Monroe County. And I thought when, at the time, I said, look, there's a higher and better use for that income tax. It's more needed for public safety than it is for transportation.
Well, you got your public safety tax. Boom.
Right. Well, now it appears that now that's in place. Now they're still talking about this other income tax for transportation.
What is that transportation tax going to fund?
That's what they were talking about before, like trying to get buses to go more often to the county line roads.
Expand like rural transit, expand.
Yes, we'd be, yeah, expanding rural transit, expanding Bloomington transportation. And one of the things that I said, look, clearly, when you move out into the county, far out into the county, you generally just know that part of what you'll be doing and the balance in making your decision is that you know you're going to have transportation to get to your job place. If you don't live nearby where you work, or you can't get public transportation where you work, then you better have a car. Now, I understand that there are people who already live out in the county who would say, gee, I'm really not sure I want to pay for maintaining a car. I'd rather have a bus come and pick me up.
Has there been some kind of, I don't know, study done? Has there been, where did this come from? Is this an issue? I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but this, I don't read about this or see it anywhere. There's an outcry of county residents that are stuck with no transportation?
Well, I know that there are people in the business industry who would like to see a growth of bus services around that donut area around, and certainly over here on the west side, to be able to get to some of the west side areas and the growth there. And I understand that. And if those townships that are able to say, okay, I would like to pay additional tax so that I can have a bus come out here. Maybe I live in Highland Village, or maybe I live in areas that's so close to the bus. Maybe that's the case. I'm not in favor of this in place of, if there's a big push to do this, then the same method that was used to raise for the public safety tax could also be used to raise for transportation tax. The city would still be in charge, and they would be in charge of raising it. And the money mostly would, seems to me, would go to Bloomington Transportation. I know they talked about that during their budget hearings. I heard the transportation director discuss it.
Sure.
And say, yes, let's do that. I just was surprised to see that our county council candidates are also talking about it and in a positive fashion, because we just put this rather large income tax.
Let me, while I have you here, and Marty Hawk is our guest this morning, County Councilwoman, checks in with us every Wednesday. Off the top of your head, how many new taxes have we put in the last year?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not prepared.
That's fine, because I just off the top of your head, it seems like every month or so there's some kind of new tax brewing. Is this just an infinite pile of money? It seems like, well, there's a thing in the legislation that says we can do a transportation tax. So there's a thing in the legislation that says we can do a public safety tax. There's a thing. It just seems like it's a nonstop issue, plus a double bond, plus this. Do we just have infinite revenue sources that can continue to fund all this?
Well, the frightening thing is that
can we all afford it?
I do understand there's a different philosophy entirely.
Sure.
Some people really believe that when there is a method to raising more tax dollars, that that's always a very good thing.
And you should take that method every single time and get it to the full maximum every time you find it, right? It's like finding a treasure chest. You go through your map and you say, look, hey, here's a little known statute that we found. Bang, let's make sure we get every penny's worth out of there before someone changes it.
Well, I would just say to the public listening, if you have concern about this, if you feel like that you are right now paying as much tax as you would like to have to pay, and there's really no other need that you feel so strongly about that you're willing to pay an additional tax for, then research how your vote goes, because they've made it very clear. They haven't been shy about saying what they would like to do. So if
everything.
You vote and support that, then please don't complain later that you're now seeing perhaps a new transportation tax, or there's also someone that was part of the debate, a council member, saying they continue to support growth of the tourism industry, which, of course, don't we all, but what had been presented before was to do that with a food and beverage tax. So at some point in time, when is enough enough, and the voters will decide.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know whoever comes out on top of this election, they all love Monroe County government just as I do. And so at the end of the day, it will be up to the voters to say, yes, this is the direction we want to go. And then we'll all just work together to make sure we provide the best services we can.
People will say that this election is divisive. It is... everybody's choosing up sides, but what can't get lost in this is the local issues and the local people running. Everybody wants to focus on the big debate tonight, 9 o'clock, right here on WGCL. It's Trump versus Clinton. But Trump and Clinton aren't going to knock on your door tomorrow and solve any of your problems. So while you're there, happily pull the lever for whichever candidate you feel is necessary. But remember what's going on in your town. It kind of starts from the ground up. It doesn't trickle down as we maybe thought in the 80s, correct?
Absolutely, and really, all politics are local. I mean, who is going to more affect your life, unless there's some catastrophic thing happen at the national level, that your local level is going to assist you more? It's the county commissioners who are over the highway department who will... and the highway department, which we have really great highway department, but we have to support them, because they're the ones who make sure that we have roads that we can get out and drive to our place of work or
to earn that money to pay all these taxes you just talked about.
Right. Let us all make sure that we've done what we can to investigate all of the issues and make that vote count. Don't just go in there and vote without doing it, and then without doing the homework, and then later say, well, what happened here? Because if you are of the mind that, yes, I'm willing to pay additional taxes over and above what I'm paying now, and I'll be happy to do that, then fine. If you're saying, no, I think I'd like a little rest from the growth of new taxes, then let your vote reflect that. So, and also, when you go to vote, what you're going to see is they hand you in a folder your ballot, and that ballot is two sides. And the way they're handing it to you is that they're showing you the back side instead of the front side. So you start voting on that back side, and then when you turn it over, that's where you could fill in if you were going to vote straight party. I think might be, I'm just guessing, I don't know, I think that might be to encourage people to look at some of the questions on the ballot and also to look at those races that you cannot just vote a straight ticket for.
Yeah, you've got to that doesn't force you to participate, but it should pique your attention.
Right. Say, for instance, with the county council, there's four people running for county council.
Yeah, you got to fill it in.
You can vote up to three. You don't have to vote for three, but you can vote up to three. But you absolutely have to fill it in because you can't just vote straight ticket
Sure. And
think you've got those counties.
And same with
races.
School board. There's no partisan with school board. You have to go in there and fill it out. And, again, the referendum questions, you're exactly right. So please take your time. You can practice online. Find it all at the county's website. They'll help you get ready to go on that. Marty Hawk is our guest this morning, wrapping things up here on a Wednesday. It's good to hear that the early voting process went smoothly. The numbers look to be up. That's fine. We've got plenty of more early voting. You can early vote today from 8 to 6. Today through Friday on that, then all of next week as well, and all the week after that. So we're just getting started. Election day is the latest it can be, right? November 8th? I don't think it can be any later than that, can it?
Well,
the first Tuesday after the first Monday.
So.
I don't think so. That's it. So we get that extra week in there where everybody's kind of you're out of excuses of why you can't do it. There's so much early voting plus election day, so you should be able to make your vote heard in all of that moving forward.
Right, and don't forget those votes for the Congress. It is going to control who is going to have majority at
sure.
the Senate level and House level. These votes are so important. And so I just wish everyone the very best and get out there and exercise your right to vote.
That's right.
And I'll be glad when this election is over.
Well, there'll be a next one after that, and a next one after that, and a next one after that. So, again, we'll see how it all plays itself out. Tonight, 9 o'clock, right here on WGCL, the debate will be live. 90 minutes, commercial free, just like on television. We'll have it for you on the airwaves, plus a 90-minute recap show as well. You watched the Senate debate last night, Lucy Brenton, Evan Bayh, and Todd Young. That was their only debate, so if you missed that, you can probably go back and find that online somewhere if you need to watch.
And the school superintendent, that was really an awesome debate, too. I'm saying that wrong. Superintendent of school.
Public education. Right. We know what you meant. Glenda Ritz and Jennifer McCracken, I believe, were the two candidates in that one.
McCormick,
excuse me. There we go. Between the two of us, we'll get it all figured out here. Again, people have more ways than ever with the wonderful world of 24-hour news media, with the wonderful world of internet, to go back and look at this and research it and take notes on what it was. It's not one of those deals where if you missed it, it's gone forever, and you have to believe whatever you read in the newspaper or whatever you hear down at the coffee shop. Now you can go back and look on your own time and go back and watch Cats. You can go back and watch the candidate forums. You can do all this stuff, and you've got plenty of time to do it. Marty, make the process. It's about us. We the people. We do it or we don't, and we have no one to blame but ourselves.
Well, yes, and aren't we lucky to live in this wonderful United States of America where we really can vote, and people are watching to make sure that this voter registration documents being changed and whatever. Just shame on all those people who would do that to try and mess up our election system. I'm glad people are keeping an eye out and trying to
check yours out before you go at indianavoters.com. And again, the story Marty is referring to, I've put on her Facebook page. Indiana State Police were called Monday night to investigate possible voter tampering and fraud after the Secretary of State's office discovered voter registration irregularities. Secretary of State Connie Lawson said, "It's concerning, but I want voters to know our system is intact and we are confident that our system has not been hacked." That full story, again, you can find at WGCLradio.com. Good job, as always. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman.